Lord, what a joy it is to know you. Chainbreaker, I want to tell you, I really appreciate that song. And I don't know where, and I want to make sure you understand, I think these messages right now, I don't know if the deliverer's good at it, but I think the topic we're talking about is a real serious and important topic today and in our world today. I was reminded of it this week. I want to make sure we're talking about life's healing choices. And I had several contacts this week with people who are hurting. Anybody know? And they're struggling, and there's some pain in their life. And some of them it's a loss, some of them some situations, and they're struggling. And I kind of thought about it from the perspective of Jesus, because I put the verse here. We're looking at the Sermon on the Mount, right? We're looking at some of the verses here that Jesus stepped up. He came to this area. His disciples are with him. He's on the side of a mountain. There's a crowd of people, and he looks out on them. And you know what he saw? He saw hurting people. He saw broken people. I'm going, well, I'm going to come to church. I'm going to tell everybody here, guess what? Now, how many of you would look to the person sitting next to you and go, yeah, they're broken? How many would do that? Not me. It's them, right? We're not the broken one. But Jesus, so I put that here. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. Jesus looked at the crowds, and he's seen hurting, broken people. He's seen our world today, where people are wounded, and there's trauma, and there's setbacks, and there's anxiety, and there's stress, and depression, and all this stuff going on. And we talk about hurts, habits, and hang-ups. And all this is going on in life, and Jesus seen how messed up. And some of them are, maybe you're like me. I'm past messed up to whacked out, and I'm really getting close to a nut job. Anybody on that one? I'm just moving along that line really quick. Because we live in the world, and it's rough. But what we try to do, here's the problem. We try to fix our brokenness by fixing our habits. All right? That's what we think. Well, if I can fix this habit, I'll be okay. But here's the problem. Most of our habits are the result of a pain. The result of something going on in our life. It's not the issue. The habit grows out of that. I don't have a habit to drink. I got a pain that's causing me to drink. Am I right? Is anybody on board with me here? And we all have these issues. I mean, I made a list here of things that maybe you struggle with or I do. I talked about, anybody have a spending problem? My wife said something the other day. No, I'm not homeless, but I need help. My wife's in Target for 2 hours. And mine's not Target. It's called Kohl's. Anybody, that Kohl's will get you in trouble real fast. And we have these habits, and maybe alcohol, maybe drugs, maybe TV, I just reminded of this one. I had it in my notes already. Overeating. Anybody have an overeating problem? I'm going to talk more about that one in the message, And usually all those problems covering up a pain. It's not the problem. The problem is the pain, the hurt. So I'm going to ask you this morning, where is your wound? Where is your hurt? Where is your pain? Because that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want us to kind of think about that this morning. And so we got to kind of stop, and it's kind of like, well, just stop it. Just quit. I always liked Bob Newhart. Anybody remember Bob Newhart? Some of you guys have no idea who it is. Some lady came in for counseling one time, and she sat across the chair. I was going to get the video clip, and she sits across the chair, and she starts telling this problem she's having. And he looks at her, and she goes, what am I going to do? He goes, stop it. She goes on about another thing going on, and what am I going to do? He goes, stop it. And she kept making all this, and he said, stop it. Can we stop the pain? If you could pain, you would have stopped it already. Am I right? If you could put the brokenness aside, if you can put the hurt aside, if you can put the wound aside, if you can put the hang-up aside, if you can put that pain or that tragedy aside, you would have already done that. Am I right? It would be already something I've already handled. And we talked about that in week one. Week one, we had that reality choice. It's right there in your note. You got to realize, you're not God. Because if you were, you would have did that. You would have fixed it already. You would have been done with it already. But you're not, and most of us would say, I know I'm not God. Anybody here think they're God? And, you know, I got a good counselor we can send you to. You know. But we don't think we're God, but we act like we're God. You know. Don't tell me what to do. I know what I'm supposed to do. Anybody? You know. I know what I'm doing. I know where I'm going. I got my hand. I know what life's all about. We act like we're not God, but we act like it. Does anybody know what I'm talking about there? We act like we're God. I got my, it's my life. I can do what I want. You know? But the reality choice says, realize I'm not God. I'm not God. You know, that's not me. You know? And I'm powerless to change. And since I'm not God and I messed up, I guess I need some help. And that brought us to week two. We talked about the hope choice. Because it's all choice. You got to make the choice. That's what we're going to drive in this morning. It's all about this. And the hope choice is God loves you. And God desires to have a relationship with you. That's what I think we need to really wrestle with. That you know what? God really wants a relationship with you. You know how bad God wants a relationship with you? He sent Jesus to die for you. That's how bad he wants a relationship with you. He doesn't want to just know you. He wants to know you and walk with you and be a part of your life. He's God. And that's that hope choice, that God is crazy about you, and he cares about you. See, we are broken, and I am not God, and I need to get my life fixed, and I have a God who wants to help me, and I have a God who wants to be a part of that, and desires for me to have that relationship with him. Desires for me to walk with him. And he's made it possible through his son, Jesus Christ. And so I have this reality, and I have this hope, but now we come to the big part. The decision. Anybody like making decisions? You know, most of us like somebody else to make the decision, right? You decide. Anybody ever have this one? You're after church. You're going to go out to eat. And you go, where do you want to go? And nobody wants to make their mind up, right? You know, she want, look, you know, where do you want to go? I don't care. Well, I don't care. Then I pick one, and guess what? I don't want to go to that one. You said you didn't care. Make your mind up. You got to make decisions. If somebody's not broken now, they'll be broken on the way home. You know? But we got to make a decision. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the commitment choice today. You got to cross that line. You got to make a decision. What are you going to do? You're not God. You can't fix yourself. If you could, you would have. You got a God who loves you, a God who wants to help you get things right, God who wants to fix you, wants to walk with you. And now you got to decide. Am I going to keep my way or am I going to do it his way? And you got to make that choice. And so I got it here on your outline. You can look at it right there with me. To consciously choose to commit all my life and will to Christ's care and control. You got to make that choice. Now, how do I say this week in and week out? Anybody know how I say this week in and week out? You got to reach a point in your life where you say something along this way, right? God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours in my life and take control. You got to reach that point. And Jesus said it this way. Jesus in the Beatitudes, number 3, says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who relinquish their lives, who are meek. Now, most of us, we hear the word meek, think of a weak person, right? Somebody who has no backbone. Somebody can't do, you know, they're just mealy mouth. They're malleable. They're just existing. Well, that's not what the word Jesus used here. You know? And it wasn't because he's sitting there talking to the Jewish people. Now, make sure you get a picture here. The Jewish people of that time were God's chosen people. Well, they're still God's chosen people. All right, just make sure you understand that. They're still, God hasn't changed that part of it. You know? And they're God's, and they knew it. I'm God's chosen people. That's a Samaritan over there. They're a half-breed. Am I right? That was a Jewish. They had pride, you know. I'm a Sadducee. I'm a Pharisee. You know, I'm a member of the Sanhedrin. And Jesus is sitting there telling all these prideful people, I'm God's chosen. If the Romans would just leave us alone, if the Romans would get out of our way and just give us back our land, it would be good. Just leave us alone. Does that sound like us today? We're prideful people. I don't know about you, but anybody here want money? Anybody want success? Anybody want power? Anybody want authority? Anybody want your parents telling you what to do? You know, we're the same. We're the prideful people. What Jesus is saying is, listen, if you're going to get well with life, you got to realize who you are and who I am. He says, you're going to have to be meek. And so I gave you a definition of what the meek, this is the Greek word. I'm not going to try to pronounce it, but it's sitting there for you. Meek, a mild of things, be tame of animals, gentle or pleasant of person, kindly and lenient of such as activities or punishment. I want you to circle one of those in there. I want you to circle B, the whole thing. Tame of animals. All right? Now, how many here watch John Wayne movies? Anybody here ever watch John Wayne movies? Anybody? Okay. Some of you young ones go, who don't even know who John Wayne is, right? You go, John Wayne, I don't even know who he is. Yeah, well, go watch some old westerns. You ever watch an old western? They'd go out into the prairie and they would ride a wild horse, right? They'd rope that wild horse, they'd bring it back into the stable, into the stall area, and they would begin to, what they would call, to break the horse. Anybody on board with me? And when they were out hunting for a horse, they wanted the fastest, wildest horse out there, right? Because they would take that fastest, wildest horse, and once they tame it, it would be the fastest horse. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. He's talking, we're wild and we're strong, that we're tamed by God. And so I put it that way on your outline. Meekness is strength under control. Meekness doesn't mean I'm weak, doesn't mean I'm just mealy mouth, doesn't mean I just go with the flow, whichever feels good. I'm just kind of drifting through life. That's not meek. That's not what Jesus is talking about. Somebody who is strong, somebody who's faithful, somebody who's got strength, but they're under control. Now I'm going to tell you who's control. God's control. Okay? Because if it was under your control, you'd be fixed already, right? Just so you know, there's two people that are called meek in the Bible. Only two people in the Bible called meek. You can read the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. You can read everything in there. There's two people. First one is, probably guess his. His name is Jesus, right? You better be on board with that one. You know? Was Jesus weak? Was Jesus mealy-mouthed? Was Jesus just kind of going with the flow? No. He was meek. It was strength under control. And here's a verse that kind of describes that strength. For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. Then he begins to describe Jesus and his strength under control. He is your example, and you must follow in his steps. He never sinned or ever deceived anyone. He's strong. He could make wise decisions. He could go the right way. He did not retaliate when he was insulted or threatened revenge when he suffered. He was arrested. What did he do? When he was whipped, what did he do? When he was nailed to the cross, what did he do? And I thought about that. You know, it says he left his case in the hands of God who always judges fairly. You know, I thought about that. You know, Jesus being whipped and beaten. You know, let's see. He blind could see. The lame could walk. He calmed the great seas. He fed the thousands with just a lunch bag full of fish and bread. You think he kind of called the ball to lightning down and took care of everybody around him? You think he could have caused the earth to open up and swallow up all the people that are around him and whipping him and nailing him to the cross? He could have did all that, but he followed God's plan. He was meek. He was strong in strength. Under control. The same thing for Moses. Moses stood before Pharaoh saying, let my people go. Led millions of people through the wilderness. that he was a meek man. Listen to what it says about him. Now, the man Moses was very meek, more than all people who were on the face of the earth. See, that's what God is calling us to this meekness, to humble ourselves. And we know it, that I know I'm not God, and I know I can't fix myself, but I got this, right? Anybody? I can fix this. I can handle this. I can deal with anybody. Anybody on board with some of these statements? You know, I've got life all figured out, and I can take care of myself. When we say those things, we're saying, I'm God. I've got this. And so I put it this way. Here's what meekness is. Meekness is a confidence in who I am. You want to know who I am? I'm a broken guy. That's who I am. This is me. I am a broken individual. This is who I am. But who I am goes to this next one. God, your God, is the God of all gods. He's the master of all masters, a master of immense power and awesome. See, I'm broken. I'm wounded. I have hurts. I've said things I wish I haven't. Anybody? I've done and been places I wish I had not gone. Anybody? I've done things that I regret. Anybody on? You know, I this is who I am. I know who I am. I'm a broken person. I'm not God, but God is God. And I know that. And that takes me to the next one. Meekness is the confidence in whose I am. Since I'm not God, I need a God. Let me tell you something. Everybody needs a God. And let me give you another hint. Everybody has a God. I'm going to tell you, there is no such thing as an atheist, and there's no such thing as an agnostic. They have a God. They just don't think God is God. They think money's God. They think drugs is God. They think success is God. They think possessions is God. Am I right? Everybody's got a God. I like the definition I learned when I was in seminary. God, I'm going to give you a definition of God that works all the time. Whatever is your ultimate concern becomes your God. Your God doesn't, watching TV could be your ultimate, could be your God. And so when somebody says they're an atheist, my comment is, no, you're not an atheist. You just don't like God, but who's your God? Because they got a God. Maybe it's the almighty dollar. It's America. It's the dollar, right? Yeah. That's where the power is. All right? But I'm not God. But I know who God is. See, and I know whose I am. I belong to God. Because here's a little hint, let me tell you something. Either God is going to possess you, or you're going to possess a God. Nobody likes that one? Either you're going to possess God, or God's going to possess you, or you're going to possess a God. It's that simple. So you need to know whose you are. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God. Why don't you circle that, a child of God. And everyone loves the Father, loves his children too. You're a child of God. I'm a child of God. I'm joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I'm chosen by God. You know, I talk about Israel being a chosen people. Guess what? I'm a chosen person. Anybody here chosen? Anybody here chosen? All right, I want to see some hands. You're chosen. You know, you're special. Who you belong to makes a difference. I belong to God. This is, as I was writing this, you need to understand for me, I look at my life, and I'm going to tell you, I can be a jerk. Anybody? Don't have to agree. Just nod your head. I can be a pain. I am broken. I do say, been, done all sorts of things, and I got to get up Sunday morning and tell you what God says. You want to know how intimidating that is? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Daryl, Dan, you guys know what I'm talking about? You know, you're not perfect. You're broken, and you got to go, okay, God, I got to stand up, you know. I worry about the worship team. Same thing, you know. It's, oh, okay. But you know how to do that? Not because of who I am, because of who he is. See, we need to see that. We are broken, and we need to understand who I am. I am a broken vessel. I have hurts and wounds. I have battles and struggles. I've said things, been said, did things. I am a broken person. That's who I am. But what makes it amazing is whose I am. I'm a child of God. I'm chosen by God. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Now, I'm not going to get into a lot of this right now, but you know, not everybody's chosen by God. Did you know that? You know, we need to pay attention to who God is and who we belong to. But we got to make that day. Everyone who believes in Jesus Christ has become a child. I say it week in and week out. You got to make a decision. You got to make a. You got to decide. Are you in, or are you out? You know, it's been really a challenge for the church, and not that talking about our church, but God's church, with all the battles going on. There's the antagonist against the church. You know, the church is intolerant. The church is hypocrites, and the church is. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And I think this is a good time for the church, because either you're going to be in the church or you're not, because you're not going to be part of those intolerant and hypocritical people. I don't mind telling people I'm a Christian. I don't mind telling people, you know, you want to say I'm judgmental? You know, I want to tell you, I love you. I care about you. I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to pick on you. I don't need to do that. Here's my thing. I don't need to judge or pick on anybody, because I'm going to tell you what, the Holy Spirit does a much better job than I can. I just got to be Gary. Messed up, broken, in the hands of God. Doesn't that sound okay? Isn't that who you want to be? And see, we can take our pain, we can take our hurts, we take those anxieties and that stress and those panic attacks and depression. We take all that to Him as broken people, and we put that in God's hand. And what can God do with that? Think about that. What can God do? But we got to make a commitment. See, I want to make sure you know something. It's not enough to know all this. You got to make a decision. I'm going to be driving home a decision this morning, okay? I don't like baiting and switching, all right? I'm not going to, oh, here's this nice little thing. I'm going to be very plain this morning. Let me tell you what. You're either in with God or you're not, all right? If you get a little uncomfortable this morning, suck it up, all right? Because you can't be half in and half out. All right, this is not our world today, you know, and so you have to make a decision, and I want to talk about that this morning. So I'm going to take this little phrase. We're going to make about four or five little phrases here. Then we're going to put it all together, and I'm going to ask you to make a decision. For some of you, it might be a first-time decision. It might be you need to go, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I need to do them your way. Come my life and take control. For some of us, it might be we need to get back right with God. You know, we've kind of wandered our own way. We've kind of slid away. We're kind of doing our own thing. I'm not God, but I've kind of got control right now. And maybe I need to get back. Maybe you're just hurt and so wounded, you're just kind of pushed off. You need to step back in. And so I want to make sure you know, we're starting here, and at the end, I'm calling you to a commitment. Everybody okay with that? Just nod your head. Well, whether you're okay with it or not, I'm going to do it, okay? So let's look at these little phrases right here and kind of put this together, because I'm going to ask you to make a commitment. These little bite-sized phrases. Consciously, it is my decision. It is my decision. You have to choose. Like I said, my grandfather, I grew up, I didn't even know I was dragged to church, didn't know my grandfather was a preacher. I didn't know that. I've shared this with you. He was a brush arbor. He preached up and down the valley wherever they were picking crops. He was one of those Okies traveling up and down this valley picking crops. And wherever he was at, he preached. Does that make me a Christian? No. You know, did it give me a chance? Yes, but no, because I didn't know. You know, I didn't know what my grandpa did back in the 30s and 40s. You know. All I know is what he was like in his 70s. But I have to decide. You have to decide, are you with God or are you not? It's your decision. God doesn't force you. God doesn't twist your arm. It's your decision. It says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Why don't you circle, you will be. It's not you might be. This is one of my favorite verses. You need to know this. I'm not perfect. Anybody here perfect? I mess up. But I know one thing. when I die, I'm going to heaven. I know. Not because I'm good, not because I'm a preacher, not because I'm a creature, because I know Jesus Christ died for me. I'm going to tell you, he died for you. And you have to make that decision. I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me, James chapter 14. You know, that it's your decision. And it's a one-time decision. When I accepted Christ when I was 17 years old, he's never left me. Now, to be honest with you, sometimes I've kind of pushed him away. Anybody on that one? You know, because Gary's, you know, when Gary was 17, 18, 19, 20, Gary was really smart. As I got older, I've got dumber. You know, because I had all the answers. When I'm 17, 18, I had all the answers. Just leave me alone. I've got it. You know, I know where I'm going. I know what I'm doing. Just leave me alone. And so, God's always been there, but Gary's kind of, I take the wheel for a little while, God. Anybody ever done that one? I got this one, God. Yeah. It's a one-time decision. But I want to go to this next one because I think this is really important. I got to choose to commit over and over. All right? I accept Jesus Christ at 17, but you need to know something. This morning when I woke up, I had to choose, am I going to church or not? Now, you guys expected to see me, right? You know, but it was still my choice. You know, your choice. Am I get up Sunday morning? Am I going to go to church or not? You get to choose every Sunday. You get to choose. You know, this week, you get to choose. Am I going to go to small group this week or not? You know, am I going to join with these other 6, 7, 8 people and spend time together or not? We're broken and we wonder what's wrong and we're not hanging around with other people. You know, I was sharing yesterday, you know, I got people in my neighborhood, they drive into the street, they push the button, I named 2 neighbors. Never see them outside, push the button, pull in the garage, push the button, the door closes. Somebody else mows their yard for them. They're never outside. Anybody got neighbors like that? How many of us live like that though? I don't need anybody, just leave me alone. You know, you got to choose every choice. You have to make those decisions. It's being a Christian. Yeah, I made that decision when I was 17. You know, well, when did you become a Christian? I can tell you that. But you know what? Every day I got to make a decision. You know, I got to make a decision this week. I don't know about you, but you know, Thursday rolls around every week. Did you know that? There's a Thursday every week, and every Thursday night there's a Wana. And I'm tired. Evie, right? I'm tired. I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes I don't want to go to Awana. Anybody want to raise their hand on that one? I'm tired. It's been a long week already, and it's Thursday, and I got to deal with snotty-nosed kids. But I'm going to tell you what, those snotty-nosed kids are some of the most rewarding times of the week for me. Okay? When you got kids telling you God's word, man, it's like, oh, this is good. I'm getting these seeds in their heart early. You know, but I'm going to be honest. Sometimes I don't want to go. You have to decide. You know, it's 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, 365 days a year. You got to make it. Either I'm with God or I'm not. Every morning, you got to do every decision. You know, the text message comes and you're going, and you got to make a decision. I'm going to blast them, right? You know, or that Facebook post. You know, somebody posted something on Facebook, and it's like, I want to, you know, and you're going to push that button because you got to set them straight, right? I got to, yeah. What does meekness say? Remember we're talking about, what did Jesus, he was attacked. Well, I'm not Jesus. You know, am I right? See, we got to make these decisions. It's not a one-time decision. Yes, I made Jesus my Lord and Savior. But every day, over and over and over again, you know, Monday night rolls around. I got hungry. I got a wonderful home group on Monday night. But sometimes I don't want to meet anybody. You know, I don't want to go to home night. They're coming to my house. You know, I love my Monday night group. They're a lot of fun. We have a great time together. It is such a blessing. But sometimes I just want myself. See, we got to make this decision all the time. you're here today, and it's like somebody's going to say, you want to join me in home group? You want to come to my Bible study tonight, this week? And you got to make a decision. I can think of 25 reasons too. You know? See, it's an over and over and over decision. Look at what it says. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily. Circle that word. And follow me. You got to do this decision over and over and over again. Whether it's a text or a phone call or an invite. Your neighbor is sick. What do? Your best friend needs somebody to take them somewhere to the doctor. What do? You got to make these decisions over and over again. And so that's who I am. You know, I got to consciously make a decision and a commitment. So that's point two and one. How about this next one? All of my life and will, everything. Everything. Why don't you, everything. Now, this is a hard one. Yeah, those are easy, all right? Everything. Everything with God. It's either all or nothing. I'm going to tell you something. God doesn't want 10% of your heart. God doesn't even want 90% of your heart. He doesn't want 99% of your heart. He wants what? 100%. He wants you all in. God, I'm going to give Sunday. Well, wait, God. I'm going to give you Sunday from 10:30 till noon. And if the preacher preaches at noon, I'm going to walk out. I used to see a guy that did that in church. Not here, though. I might say something. Like I say, I say wrong things sometimes. Where are you going? I hope nature's calling. Yeah? But you got to be all, you know, God, what are you going to give God? God, I'm going to give you my spiritual part, right? See, I think this is part of the problem we have today is, God, I'll give you my spiritual heart, but I'm going to take my physical and do my own thing. Just so you know, that's not new. It's fun to read the early history of the church and read God's word and put it in historical context. Because here's what they thought. Now, tell me if we don't see this today. They thought, my soul, when I accept Jesus, my soul goes to heaven. Right? But my body is just going to decay and go to dust. So it doesn't matter what my body does, because my body can do anything it wants, and my soul goes to heaven. So I can do whatever I want. I can be promiscuous, I can use drugs, I can get drunk, I can do whatever I want because my body's just going to decay, but my soul's going to heaven. Now, we laugh at that, but do we do that sometimes? I'm okay spiritually, but my physical, that's... Just so you know, I pray for people, and I pray for my grandkids today and many of your children today. My prayer covers this. I pray for them physically, spiritually, and emotionally. Because God cares for that whole ball, because he made it that way. And so we need to make that decision. Everything in our life, it all belongs to him. And we need to give it to him. And the next one says, Christ, care and control. He loves me. Oh, crud. Wait, I wanted to say something about everything real quick. I got a note here. I want to make sure I covered this, because I thought this was good for me. When I talk about everything, here's an illustration for me. I want to lose weight. Anybody here want to lose weight? Don't raise your hand. I want to lose weight, all right? And so I decided a long time ago, I quit drinking. I used, just so you know, my breakfast, I'd walk down here to the church. My breakfast would consist of going to Salida Home Market with a 44-ounce empty thing that for since I could fill it up with soda, grab some Hostess Twinkies, come to the church office, and sit down. You know, and then I'd have to run a meeting over at the Head Start sometimes, and so I'd bring my Hostess Twinkies and my soda in there, and the nurses that were there would yell and scream at me, but I didn't care. You know, and I decided I needed to lose weight, so I quit drinking soda. I just flat out, and for a couple of years, I never drank a soda. And, you know, I started watching what I was eating and started paying attention to what I was eating and that stuff. You know what? I lost a little bit of weight. Not much, but a little. You know, so it's like, well, if you don't lose weight, guess what? I'm going back. You know, I quit drinking. I didn't eat so much candy. It just kind of cut, you know, forget it. You know, I still skip sodas, because it gets so expensive, you know. So that was it. But then I it's like, okay, so I needed exercise. Anybody need that one? So I started exercising. You know, I got an elliptic machine. You know, I get on that elliptic machine. You know, and so I do the elliptic machine. But I was back eating and drinking and doing this stuff I did. But I'm exercising now. Lost a little bit of weight. Didn't change much. So then I got smart. I did the Daniel plan. Yeah, I'm going to tell you, it's a really good plan. I got involved in the Daniel. Our home group did it. We had a great time in our home group doing the Daniel. And I put it all together. Okay? I put what I eat, get a little exercise, put it all together, everything together. I lost 15 pounds. Didn't do any good just eating right. Didn't do any good just exercising. But when you put it together, something happened. And that's the way God works. You put everything together, that's when God works. Does that make sense? That's the everything. Now let's get to the last point. I love that illustration. I wanted to get it in there. Christ's care and control. He loves me. God loves you. Week number two, we beat this up. So you can go back and listen. It's not uploaded yet, but it'll be on the internet. I'll encourage you to go back and listen to God loves you. God is crazy about you and me. God loves us. When I did the Awana kids in there the first week, I had that verse, Romans, John 3:16. Anybody familiar with that? For God so loved the world. You know what I did in that verse with those kids that first week? I erased the word world. And I put every kid sitting around that table's name in there. For God so loved, I named each child and went around. And for God so, and you got to see the kids' face when I said that. You know, they just, it was like, and they, you know, I had to make sure if I skipped one, I'd have been in trouble. You know, but I want to tell you, that's the truth. When it says world, it means you and it means me. You can put your name in there, and I encourage you to do that. For God so loved Gary that he sent his one and only son, that if Gary believes in him, he'll have eternal life. That's, come on. See, that's how much God loves us. That's how much God loves you. He loves us. Come to me, all you who are weary and overburdened. Is that what it says? Yes. And I will give you rest. He almost had it memorized. See, he cares for us. He wants to carry our burdens. He wants to be there for us. He wants to walk with us. And I want us to see he loves us and that God loves you. So I want to put these phrases together. You see the commitment choice there? Consciously choose to commit all my life and will to Christ's care and control. See, we're willing to say, I'm not God. I mean, most of us, that reality choice, that's a pretty easy one. You know? We're all going to believe, and we know that God loves us. We've seen it. Look at Jesus. I mean, what better you have to see of God's love than Jesus dying for you? But knowing all that doesn't mean anything until you make a decision. Am I right? You've got to decide. And it's not just a one-time decision. Well, at 17, I accepted Christ. You know, you hear me talk about invisible line. At 17, sitting around that dining room table at my aunt and uncle's house, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. My life, take control. That made a difference. But every day, I've got to decide. Every morning when I wake up, is it my day or God's day? And during the day, you know, there's so-and-so that's got on my nerves. Anybody? Come on now. So-and-so's got on your nerves. I got to decide. Is it God's way or my way? You know, God's way. Jesus earlier said, leave it in God's hand. Gary says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and Gary gets even, right? Come on. You know, I've got his decisions every day. That post, that conversation, somebody said something that offended me, that need that needs to be met, you know, and I'm tired and I don't want to go and, you know, you mean I got to go to Awana? Oh, man. It's just kids. I'm going to tell you, just so you know, for me, the two best things for me, I got three things. Just so you know, here's the three high points for me. Right now, Sunday morning. Monday in my small group. And Thursday. And plus I got small group Wednesday and Tuesday. I'm not going to knock those. I have a good time there too. But then Thursday, Awana. I'm going to tell you, you want to know what it's like when I walk through the school? I'm so blessed I get to walk to work here. Laura and I walk, and I can see my grandson bringing potato chips. They yelled at me for bringing him cookies. I used to bring my cookies to school. And they said, you're getting him sugar high before school starts. So I had to start bringing potato chips. So I give my grandson potato chips. But I walk through there, and the kids, hey, Gary, hey, Pastor. Seriously. You know what? You know, that's awesome. I'm in an event with a bunch of other people there, and somebody comes up and goes, you know, aren't you on the school board, and then aren't you the pastor? Yeah. See, I want to ask, it's 24-7, anybody? And I want to challenge you this morning. Are you 24-7? 365 days? Or is it Sunday for a little bit? You know, preacher preaches fast, which isn't going to happen here. You know, I can cut out some of that time. You know, where are you in your walk with God? See, I think we treat our habit. You know, I'm overeating. You know, I'm hooked on porn. I'm using drugs, or I messed with alcohol, or I got this hurt, or I got this wound, and you know, I'm battling this and I'm battling that, and we're over here. And what I'm saying is, let's come back to God. Let's come back and center on Him. Because here's what I realized for my life. When things aren't well, you know what's usually happened to me? Is I've just kind of pushed God aside. And I've kind of told God, you know, God, I got this. Because just when you, I'm going to just tell you, when you say, God, I got this, you're saying, God, I'm God. I don't need you. You know what God says? Good luck. Because He's not going to force you. You know, I wish you well. You know, when you turn back, God says, here I am. To me, the greatest picture is Jesus on the cross. His arms wide open. I mean, He's just saying, come, man, come. Come. That's the picture God has. I want to ask you, do you have that today? You know, as I think about us hurting and the wounds and the trauma some of us have been through and the battles and the hurts and all that's going on in our life, and I just want to say, hey, let's come back to God. He loves us. All right? Now, it's not just a matter of coming to God, and I'm gonna I'll shut up this morning. You got to commit to 24/7. It means being in a home group during the week. You need to know that. You know, it means being in church every Sunday. It's astonishing, you know, for me, you know, it's been, you know what they say a regular attender is now, the studies, they do all these studies on church attendance and everything. They say people will consider themselves a regular attender if they go twice a month. Twice is regular. Well, I don't know about you, but regular to me, I eat every day. All right? I'm going to eat every day. Regular means for me, every day means every Sunday. It means home group. And I'll be honest, like I said, I'm going to be honest. Sometimes I don't want to be here on Thursday. Evie, you want to be here every Thursday? Be honest. All right. I told her I was going to put her on the spot this morning. You know? It's like I'm tired. You know, I've moved all the chairs. You know, we got the flags out here. And these kids are going to be here. And I got to put it all back together on Friday morning. And so I want to challenge you this morning. What commitment do you need to make? Have you ever crossed that invisible line? Have you ever told God, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours in my life. You're not a Christian unless you do, okay? Plain, simple. I told you, I'm not beating around the bush. Your parent could be a Christian. You could be baptized as a baby. You could be dunked, sprayed. I don't know, whatever. It's not going to make you a Christian, all right? You can shake the preacher's hand. Come and shake my hand. You know, we'll do blood brothers or whatever. It ain't going to work. You got to reach a point in your life. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours in my life. You need to make that decision this morning? Maybe you need to make a decision. Maybe you just kind of slid away from God. You know, God's just one of the things. Not all. He's just one of the many things you're involved in. It's just one of the things you do. And maybe you need to make that. It's all. God, it's everything. Maybe you just need to come back and say, you know, God, I haven't been where I need to be. But it's your decision. You have to choose. No one can make it for you. I prayed this morning, just so you know, I prayed for many of the kids and that are here now, my grandkids and your kids, and I pray for them to be godly people, to make godly choices, and that they choose God. I pray for my grandkids to choose God. And I think there's other parents and grandparents in here that know what I'm talking about. Because I want to see them in heaven. I'm going to beat them there, guaranteed. I'm old. You know? But someday, I want to rejoice with them. I look forward to the time when I see my grandmas again. Old crazy grandma, you know, can't wait to see her again. To know that she prayed for me when I was doing stupid Gary. What's your decision? Where you're at. Here's what God wants. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. That's what God has for you. With Him? Let's pray.